Blog Talk Radio.
Dennis, I have no idea. I did not put that back on. I don't know where Green Day came from again. So I don't know if it defaults to it or what it is. But anyway, it's gone now. So, hey, Dennis, how you doing?
Oh, just peachy, other than the fact my phone wants to be retarded today. So I get to run this program with a cheap phone. Hopefully this thing doesn't die on me. But aside from that, just wonderful. How has your week been, my brother?
It's been going good. I mean, besides your weekly Chicago weather update, we had that big snowstorm that came through and kind of messed everything up yesterday, and today it's been snowing all day, but nothing's sticking. And work is busy as hell, so I can't exactly complain all that much. But I'm just waiting for the warmer weather so I can get the bike out of the garage and drop the top on the Jeep and have some damn fun. Yes, I believe coming up, it's the end of April, the boat goes back in the water. So,
woohoo! Yeah, now see? I just might have to find my way up there.
Yeah.
For those
listening,
if there's anybody in the Richmond, Virginia area that just decides, what the hell, let's take a road trip and let's go visit Chicago, let me know. I'll pack a bag. I can still lay with you. But preferably, you've got to bring me back.
Yeah, if that is the case and anybody is listening that is considering that, I don't want him. So.
What the hell? And I see. And all along, I thought you loved me, man. That's all good. That's all good. I hope, you know, never mind. May the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your armpits and your arms be too short to scratch. How's that?
That was quite articulate.
Yeah, I had to get polite and nice with it.
Yeah, I've never heard that analogy or that curse ever. Actually, that is definitely a new one, so I'm gonna have to write that one down. I don't know if I'd ever be able to use it, but what the hell, I give you kudos on that one. That was definitely a good one.
Well, thank you. Yes, I do come up with a good one every now and again. Now to let's see if we can irritate the hell out of Matt there. He gave us the Chicago weather. And now on the lighter side, today I was running around in nothing but a short sleeve shirt with the windows down, the stereo cranked up, enjoying 60 degrees and sunny.
Yep.
So you are welcome for that, Matt. And ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. I get to hear it every week.
Well, it's not my fault someone just lived in the Arctic.
Yeah, well,
it could be worse. You could be in Canada or, you know, somewhere cold and never mind, you're somewhere cold and snowy anyway.
Yeah, it's not much different. What's up?
Just different note here. I found a website called lightinthebox.com. They have got a boatload of, like, IR illuminators, all LED. The lowest one I saw for, I think it was like a 48 LED illuminator, was $25. And a metal housing in the whole nine yards.
That's actually a damn good bargain.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to set up, you know, your night vision cams and everything, you know, most DVR systems only give you, what, 30 feet of illumination out of the IRs that are built in?
Depends on the size of the camera, but yeah.
Well, most of them, typical is 30 to 50 feet. And that's a focused light also. Whereas this one, you know, it looked like it would give you a wider view, you know, or a wider wider light spread. So who knows? Maybe they'll help somebody, but that was at lightinthebox.com. And they had a dozen different kinds. But they got all kinds of really neat little trinkets and gadgets and I don't know. Don't ask me how the hell I found it. But hey, if you're after, you know, IR illuminators, that's a great place to look.
Yeah.
On a different note, for just entertainment and to hang out, CPR Graham and myself went to Gaines Mills Battlefield, went to Cold Harbor Battlefield day before yesterday, just killing time. You know, spent a couple hours just wandering around. And, you know, we stopped a couple of times at Gaines Mill. Now, at Cold Harbor Battlefield, they've got all the earthworks and everything where the trenches were. And they request that you stay off of them to maintain them, you know, so you don't screw them up. So we couldn't get into you could stand right at the edge of them. But I didn't bother pulling out the recorders or anything there, but I did at Gaines Mill. I got a couple of things, but I couldn't really make them out. But I did pull out some EVPs from there, and it was kind of cool.
Surprised you haven't sent them to me yet.
Well, like I said, I couldn't pull anything out on them. I mean, I could hear something there, but I couldn't understand what it was. They were fairly low class. I'm talking like sea or worse. But you could tell something was there, but not real sure what the hell it was. So I didn't even bother. I just discarded them. You know, when in doubt, throw it out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But,
yeah, I went... This past weekend, I wish we could have done more, but went to a place in just south of Chinatown in Chicago with Ursula Bielski. Carl was there, Len Dorman, the list goes on and on. Brandon Rush was there, called Ethel's Party, which is an old, I believe it's right around turn of the century is when the building was built, and it used to be a mortuary and has a lot of other history to it and everything. The only problem with it is I brought a decent amount of stuff. I brought two of my bags, nothing major, but there was Midnight Paranormal was there and had a whole bunch of equipment set up, and I got to talk to those guys and see if they ended up pulling anything out. But there was so many people there, and it's a large place, but it's not that large, but just for contamination reasons, all that, it was kind of more of like a meet and greet with a bonus investigating. Just kind of run around and, you know, see what you got going on, which, you know, is cool. I love doing those kind of events and everything. But in talking with Ursula online and everything, we're going to set up to go back there and actually, like, do a real one. Was talking with the owner, and the owner said, anytime I want to come, more than welcome. So chalk up another one to the list of places that we're going to be doing shortly.
Sounds fun. Yeah, I'm debating. You know, I mentioned a few weeks ago how we found that abandoned cemetery here in Richmond. I'm thinking I'm going to take the team out there one night, you know, shove one of the patrol cars out front and block off the drive leading to it and let the team run around the cemetery and see what the hell we find.
That is one benefit that you have having officers on your team is, we're just going to bring the squad and, park it out there. Not like anybody's going to come and mess with you. All you got to do is leave the car dark with the computer screen on in there, and nobody would know if there's somebody in the car or not.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then you have the other option where, some SOB liable to steal the laptop out of it.
Yeah.
You never know nowadays.
Yeah, this is a lot.
Yeah, having the couple officers on the team definitely comes in handy for things like that. When it comes to, doing your preliminary search on an investigation site, make sure the building's empty. They're trained where to look. They know what they're looking for. So, doing our building sweeps, they're immensely handy. Plus, they have the objective mindset that they bring into an investigation is incredible. So, it's truly a benefit to have law enforcement on the team. I'll definitely admit that.
Yeah,
I guess they're good guys too, I guess.
Yeah, and then there's the either.
Yeah. I mean, they're okay. What the hell? I mean, everybody has to have someone to hang out with. I just chose to hang out with dead people and law enforcement. Which is the life of an investigator.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one, it's not, funny. In the background, I have it on mute, but on my TV, I got the episode, the winter finale for Ghost Hunters on right now, and it's just like I watch these shows. It doesn't matter which show it is. But then you go back and you look at it when you're investigating, you kind of bring yourself into it a little bit. And it's just not as glamorous as they make it look on TV, which doesn't even look all that glamorous. But, it's a lot more involved than what you get to see on the screen.
Yeah, they show a short bit of what actually happens. They don't, keep in mind, for those that haven't investigated yet, if you set up digital recorders and if you set stationary ones and you record for 3 hours while you do your investigation, then you're going to sit for 3 hours with earbuds in or headphones on and listen. So, and if you have three recorders going for 3 hours, that's 9 hours of listening you have to do. So all the background work into it is phenomenal. All the setup on the cameras and running lines and then picking everything back up.
Well, let's look at this realistically. If you have three recorders running for 3 hours, that's not 9 hours of review. That's like 15 hours of review with all the rewinding and going back and wait, was that? And oh, wait, hold on. Let me. What do you think? What do you think?
Like Timothy says, and then comes the reviewing the video. Yeah, and that's the same thing. If you got 2 hours of video, and we've got a four-camera DVR system, that's 8 hours right off the bat. So, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But thanks for joining us, Timothy. I see you in the chat there. I see John in the chat also. I wouldn't want to change it. I mean, some of the things that I've seen and heard doing investigations is firefighters, law enforcement, soldiers, they all get to see things that the common individual doesn't get to see. And we get to see and hear shit that, most people will never in their lifetime encounter.
Yeah, or if they do, and it bothers them, then they call people like us, and then we bring them into that realm.
Exactly.
If in fact they're
truth
to it.
Yeah, true. But I'll tell you, one of the best things I've ever seen was the face of one of my investigators that was brand new with us, the first time he heard an EVP, his eyes got real big, his jaw dropped open, and he's like, what the hell did that just say? And it said, hello. Who said hello, spirit? What the hell, dude? Seriously?
Isn't like, that what you're there for?
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, he was brand new. That was the first time he'd ever gone investigating, first time he'd ever heard an EVP. And I can't wait till we actually get into a good location. Like, well, Graham and myself went into one, and we heard the disembodied voice with our own ears. Now, that one is kind of, that one is just cool as hell. I want to see his face when that one happens to him.
Yeah, there's an ongoing joke with people at work, because some of the, like, I can't say that there's like a huge interest with everybody at work, but you know, people are like pretty curious about it. You know, have you ever gotten anything? Blah blah blah. So when I talked to him, and I played, and I had him on my phone, so obviously it's not really that clear. And then I tried to play him to the computer, but the computer speakers are garbage. At least the ones that we have, but. They also nickname EVP, which I'll start referring to it this way. They call them mouse farts, because the idea they have in their head is us walking around abandoned buildings with mice and rats and you know, crap like that, and creepy crawlies all over the place. So they're like, that wasn't a voice, that was just a mouse fart.
That's all fun and dandy till you hear a mouse fart call your name.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what mouse's butt can produce speech, but no, it was just the stuff that I had that I was trying to play for him. I set my phone and then some really crappy computer speakers, and the only files that I had were on my phone and obviously not crisp enough in the format that smartphones have to, I mean, they weren't great for the ones that were there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still on the fence whether I want to use my Sony more, you know, it's an older Sony, it doesn't have the noise cancellation or anything, or the H4. Now, the H4 is kind of overkill in the fact that it can hear a mouse fart, but...
And a mosquito.
I don't know, I think with the noise cancellation, I might be blocking out some of what I should be able to receive.
Well,
I don't know.
There are a couple theories that I have of how an actual EVP is captured. I mean, if it's something that you can audibly hear with your ears, obviously.
Yeah.
There's another theory that I've been talking to a couple people about is the kind of where it goes into the spirit box thing is it runs off of frequencies. Well, once that there's a frequency that's reached that maybe that a spirit can feel or whatever, they just almost digitally telepathically imprint it onto that device. Like it's not an actual, there's not an actual vocal tone to it. It's just transmitted more of like a radio frequency to it in what it is than an actual voice of a spirit talking.
Now, yeah. And I've thought along the same lines, but also I've heard times where you can actually hear like, it sounds like lips manipulating to make the sounds.
Yeah.
So I have to wonder, you know. And I mean, part of my protocol is, you know, for EVP sessions, part of the protocol, you know, granted, there are some locations where you have to monitor yourself on your questioning. But part of my protocol is, can you tell me what it's like on the other side? And you know, when you can hear the articulation in the voice and, you know, the mouth movement trying to make the response, then you have to wonder, okay, is it actually just, now, the other thing is, you know, you're saying kind of telepathically and printing it on the device. Another thing that I've noticed, if I set my K2 beside my recorders, when I start getting K2 anomalies, now I'm setting them a foot apart, not like right side by side. I start getting buzzing and static and crackling in the recorder itself. So it's obviously something in the EMF that's able to change what the recorder hears. And I have looked at the pattern on the scope for the static and the buzz noise when the K2 goes off, and it matches a lot of the time that I get an actual EVP where you can understand the response. So, you know, it leads me to believe that somehow or another the EVPs are generated through EMF, but I really don't know.
And none perhaps, of us do. That's why it makes it so much damn fun.
Exactly. And, you know, perhaps John or David or maybe even Timothy later this evening, you know, maybe they can give us some insight on their opinions on that.
Yeah, that's definitely. And actually, John and David are in queue right now, so in 1 second I'll bring them in. But yeah, that was a conversation. And to clarify, I wasn't speaking of every transfer of EVP that you're hearing. Is that just that there's some level that I've noticed when I look at spectrographs and of the voice pattern that it's not recognized in a speech, it's recognized in hertz. So,
right.
which a hertz imprint would be more of a, almost like a data transfer than an actual speech pattern if it's beyond the realm of what that recorder is rated in hertz. So,
yeah,
that is one thing that I've noticed, especially on the Sony, is the Sony only, it only records from X to Y in the hertz range, but the EVP is actually below what the recorded capability of that is for speech, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, it's kind of strange. But
so,
let's see what their insight into it is. Now, the other thing is, you know, I've picked up EVPs before on my video camera where it sounded like they were right at the video camera, and there wasn't anybody around me.
Yeah,
so
I've had that happen too. It's that's kind of weird. But it depends if you're recording digital or reel to reel. Like I've actually gotten more on my reel to reel, like Sony Handycams than I have on anything digital that I have because there's less of a processor in there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, the video cam that I'm rolling is an outdated Sony model. It's got the hard drive built into it, you know, versus, you know, removable media. Now, my next one that I want to get, I think, is going to be the DVD or DVR recorder. But they're kind of a nuisance in the fact that you've got to change out the media. But
yeah,
I'll live with that if it makes a difference in what I receive.
Yeah, and fork out $1,500 for one. But
yeah, well, I'm not rolling
the
that.
The new gen Sony's. So, anyway.
I want an older one.
Speaking of rolling, we do have John and David with us. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, man.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Cool.
Can you hear me okay? Well, one of you is breaking up a little bit, so if the two of you talk and tell us which one's which.
This is David right here.
And this is John.
All right. Well, David, you were breaking up a little bit, but you got that straightened out, apparently. We can hear you a lot better now.
So I'm all good?
Yeah, for the most part.
No, it must be if both of you guys have Verizon, I think I figured it out, because that's Dennis has Verizon, and he was breaking up something fierce before I made him call from a different phone.
Does it sound a little better now?
Yeah, that one does.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. So, yeah, how's everybody doing?
Yeah, doing good. How was your guys' weekend?
Strong. Pretty interesting.
Now, how did I know one of you was going to say strong?
Well, that was me, John.
It'll probably pop up a few more times.
No.
Well, I know, and just I'll jump right into this right now because I'm actually really, really excited for it. We got something pretty big coming up. It's the first debut big screen for you, so I'm sure there's probably been a lot of preparation going into that too.
Oh yeah, you're talking about the film screening for my short film Ghost Cold Water. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We're having the film screening. It's opening for a triple movie night. They're playing three of these cult horror films that have gained a lot of notoriety from Frank Henenwater, I think his name is, director. He's having a triple movie night. They're playing Basket Case 1, 2, and 3. Then they have like a cult following to these films. I'm kind of like cheesy horror flicks, I guess. But, yeah, my film's going to be opening for those films on March 8th at the Portage Theater in Chicago. So, yeah, we're expecting a good turnout. We got a lot of people have RSVP'd online. I think right now it's about 70 who confirmed they're going. But, of course, you know, out of those 70, who knows how many are actually going to show. But, you know, we got a good crowd coming. Chris Fleming is going to come. He's going to be there. He's already confirmed that with me. And then we have one of Chicago's top models is coming, Adito Rink. We just have them coming as, like, guest appearances kind of thing. And then, yeah, other than that, it's going to be a good time. We're having an after party at a nightclub in Chicago as well after we get done with the film premiere.
Yeah, no, that's definitely cool. Like we were messaging about it before, I'm for sure going to be there. I'm going to be flying from work to the Portage. I'm not that far out, so it shouldn't be too bad. But
awesome.
Yeah, the Portage is just an awesome theater. It's an awesome venue. I mean, and just everything about it for that, you know, this genre of stuff is just. It's perfect as far as ambiance and all that goes. And the owners are amazing, too. I mean, they're so open to helping all of us out, I mean, across the board of everybody in Chicago with events and productions and stuff like that. So,
cool.
Can I give a shout-out to the Portage?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the Portage Theater reportedly haunted as well?
I've heard that. I have heard people claiming that it is haunted. I have not looked into it, but I've heard it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why, but it sounds like one of the locations I've heard about.
Yeah, no, the Portages, I mean, they had the Chicago Ghost Conference there, and then afterwards there was a... after the conference was over on, I believe it was just the last day, they had a investigation with Ed Shanahan and Midnight Paranormal Society was there, and they were kind of running it. So there have been some pretty interesting reports there. I haven't actually seen or heard any of the like concrete evidence that anybody's pulled out of there, but it was I know there's a lot of claims and a lot of stuff, and I just, due to schedule-wise for the events that I've been there, I haven't been able to stick around to actually check it out for myself, but hopefully soon.
Cool. But yeah, we're pretty excited about it. We're going to see John on the big screen there. He's in the film.
Yeah, I'm the guy in the green mask. I did a scene where I'm choking the other guy. And as I was choking the other guy, his head bounced off the medicine cabinet and broke the glass, which wasn't supposed to happen. So
well,
I was choking him
pretty good. I was telling John to like be realistic, and he was a little too realistic, and he literally smashed the guy's head into the mirror and broke it. And me, I'm like, keep filming, and the guy's like, I think I'm bleeding. I'm like, shit. So
I'm like, oh,
went,
no.
I got really into character.
you know, the cut will be there after I yell cut. So let's just keep going, and then we'll get you medical attention.
Exactly. Well, luckily he wasn't hurt. He had a bump, but he wasn't like bleeding. I don't think, which is really a miracle because the shards
right.
of glass. Yeah, the shards of glass were like so big, and but yeah, it was a crazy experience for filming. I mean. Everything in the film we tried to make very realistic because it's very easy with a micro budget to make it look cheesy when you're trying to, you know, do these things where people are getting injured or hurt or murdered or whatever. It's real easy to screw that up and make it look cheesy. So we tried to make everything very realistic. There's a scene where one of the actresses, she gets killed and then, like, the guy's dragging her. In a tarp and stuff. We really did that while we were filming. It was last winter. We wrapped her up in a tarp, duct taped her, and we dragged her in a cornfield. And she really did that. And God, I don't know how she did it, but she did. Really cold. Well, I was freezing, and I was wearing a jacket. And she had nothing else. She pretty much was just in her lingerie. It was pretty bad.
Remind me, if y'all ask me if I want to be an extra, the answer is hell no.
And we also, just so you guys know, some trivia, whoever's going to watch the film, there's a scene where she's being strangled, and we actually really did that, too, with her permission. She said it was totally okay. But, yeah, it's all real, everything you see. Because, Matt, you're going to be there, so when you're there, you know, just keep that in the back of your head that what you're seeing is actually happening. So, yeah, it just adds. And this, the Portage, it's a horror film festival. And the way they contacted me, I was actually intrigued by what they told me because it's a horror film festival. And the guy who told me about it was even shocked that they requested this of me. At the film festival, it's like blood and guts, you know? And they wanted me to censor parts of my film. Because it felt too real, they said. And they said that they didn't want to offend anybody. And I was like, really? Like, because there's no blood, you know, in it or anything. But the sense of realism apparently was achieved because they asked me to censor some stuff, which I cordially refused to do. I didn't want to censor anything. And they said, okay. They made an exception this time. But they said, if you come to the film festival again, you got to tone it down a bit on certain things. I was like, oh, okay. Damn.
At a horror film festival.
Exactly. That's all. Like, I told my buddy, who also was in the film, and he's the one who works for the Portage a lot. It's kind of how I got the gig. And he was like, really? They told you to censor it? They were like, what? They were like, dude, you should see some of the stuff they show. You know, people's heads getting chopped off. And I was like, yeah, but that's fake, you know. That you can obviously tell, you know, blood squirting everywhere. It's just a movie, you know. But when you start getting into more like, it's more like a psychological horror film. So there's not blood and guts. It's just kind of like makes you think a little. And, you know, I guess they felt what I was trying to portray, which kind of, to me, I was like, awesome. Good. I'm glad you want me to censor it because then I achieved something, you know. But
yeah, that means you're doing it right if they're asking you to censor it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not going to censor it. So.
So. Speaking of the film, I know we've talked about things. We've talked about John slamming somebody's head through a medicine cabinet and breaking glass. little too into character. What's the film actually? What's the plot? What's the basis of it? If you wouldn't mind leaking a little bit.
Sure, no problem. short films are a little different, as you probably know, than feature-length films, and they're more artsy-fartsy. So we're trying with a short film. It's not so much about like having a storyline. Some of them do, but short films are more about emitting a certain emotion to the viewer, and pretty much some short films are about morals. Some are just about ideas, and most of them are about just being able to capture a certain emotion. And let the viewers feel that emotion. Ghost Cold Water is pretty much, it has ties into the paranormal a little bit, of course, but it's kind of like, about what I call it is a story. It's a story about a young man who is faced with his inner demon, which takes form of a terrifying entity. So, you know, it's basically this guy is sad about, he's crying at his couch. That's how the film begins. And he's crying, and he's reflecting upon something. You don't really know what it is, but then as it progresses, you find out it's something to do with his girlfriend. And then this scary entity, John, reveals himself to him, and he forces him to reflect on what happened and what he did. And there's a reason why he comes at this certain time as well. He makes him remember what happened, and then, like, it happens for a reason. He shows up for it. It's like Jim's body is Jim's lead character. It's like his body is his survival, or his survivalist instinct is kind of helping him to prevent what's about to happen. It's kind of weird. It's kind of deep, but I don't know how to explain it really. You just gotta watch it.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, and I'm gonna sit as far away from John as I can. Just hopefully he doesn't have a flashback.
John gets into character again. Well, actually, it was funny you said that because there's a detective in the film, and we're planning on walking John in full costume and handcuffs at the beginning of the film and sitting him down in his seat. So he should be coming again in full costume. So it'll be cool that he's there. You know, hopefully people get creeped out in the movie theater. by that. My mom recently watched the film before they told me to make it private on YouTube, and she watched it. And she's like, "Do you really want me to go see this on the big screen?" She was like, "She's like, it creeped me out on the computer. I don't want to see it on the big screen." I'm like, "You're coming." So we're gonna make her come. We're gonna peel her eyes open.
Toothpicks work well for that.
Oh, see, now, Dennis, you're joining the morbidness.
Joining? Well, I'm probably older than all of you. I was here long before you guys came along.
All of us paranormal investigators all have a weird sign, I think.
That comes with the territory.
Yeah, it does. It really does. I mean, come on. John was just saying that the other day about photographers, about being a photographer. We're all kind of messed up. We're all kind of weird people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have to be. Look what we're out there trying to do. You know, trying to talk to something that, you know, most people don't even believe is there.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have a little bit of strangeness to you.
Of course, you got to have the outlandishness, that adventurous side to you. Out there and do something like that.
You know, the general population doesn't like to go wander through old abandoned buildings or through cemeteries or let alone sit down, relax, lean back against a headstone and talk to the air and see what comes back. So, yeah, it takes a little bit of out there.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite things to do is walk through an abandoned building and take photos.
Speaking of investigating, we just investigated the Casa Madrid in Merrill's Park Saturday.
Oh, no. How'd that go?
That was pretty intense. Pretty intense.
Jesus.
Have you guys ever investigated that?
No, I haven't been to Casa Madrid yet. Ursula and I were talking about it. That's going to be one that's coming up this summer.
Yeah, definitely go.
It was very intense. We want to go back already.
Yeah, it was one of those investigations that'll stick with you. Put it that way. It was not for the lighthearted. I mean, when we walked in there, to be quite frank, I mean, John will back me up on this. When we first got there, we were like, man, this place is a dump. We were like, what the hell? We were like, come on. And we got kind of like, well, me, I got a little discouraged at first. We were there filming for 11 hours in the cold, like straight. But when we first got there, I mean, we were a little discouraged because of the, it just looks like a basement with a bunch of tires in it, you know? And, but I mean, once we hit those lights off and we started swirling up that energy and kicking up dust, man, those guys
really
came right back. Yeah. And I think it has to do with, you know, the personalities of these people that, who, when they were alive, I mean, these guys were going up against these spirits who are total douchebags in real life, you know, like total hardcore mobster, high-level mobster guys. And, you know, these people in real life, if you looked at them the wrong way, they'd pop you in the head with a bat, you know. And in the spirit world, who knows how that could intensify those personalities or, you know, whatever, or whatever has stuck with them. But we felt that, and we felt their anger. When we started provoking a little bit, we can feel it. And all of us that were there felt simultaneously that same, like, kind of anger that was coming off of them because we were messing around with them. And it was really a cool experience.
We also did a little experiment. We had brought in Christina Rake,
mm-hmm.
Bishop Reverend. Was that right? Did I say that right?
Right.
I'm John Jehovah now, John, to try and... What is this called, guys? How do I send somebody to get to the station?
How does what?
The what?
I'm listening right now.
Oh. Tell them to go to blogtalkradio.com. Then they're going to look for Unknown Radio Network. And Live. And then they need to find Full Spectrum Radio, and that'll bring them to us.
Cool.
Now, if you're able to see them,
are you talking
to them on Facebook?
Uh-huh.
Are you talking to them on Facebook?
No, actually, my internet, my Wi-Fi just clunked out of me, and I was just texting her, actually. I gave her the phone number to listen in. I think she can listen that way, right?
Yeah, she can listen in that way.
Very interesting lady, though.
If you're messed up, I post a link in chat, but if you're gone out of chat, then that's not going to help now, is it?
No.
What's that?
Maybe John, you're online. Can you message her the link?
Yeah, absolutely.
Facebook message it to her or whatever.
Yeah, I just post a link in the chat, so that'll... She actually did call in and is listening online right now, so.
Oh, nice.
Did you?
Or listening on hold right now, so.
Okay. Yeah, Christina, basically, to make a long story short, she was really awesome. She's a psychic medium, and with the title of Reverend Bishop. She came in full outfit. It was really cool. And she has experimented in the past where she will be blindfolded and brought into a location. And she'll try to tell us a little bit about it. See, what we decided to do was cut off all the social networking prior to this investigation. And we didn't want to contaminate her, you know, subconscious mind, basically. So we did not tell her where we were going. She had no idea. In fact, we changed the location three different times, or twice. Twice before we went to this place. We changed the location, like, in a matter of 2 days. And she had absolutely no clue where we were going. She got to my home, and we blindfolded her in the car and left. And she was blindfolded the whole... It was like an hour it took for me to get there. And when we got there, I mean, as soon as she walked in the place, like, we had to help her get in there and down the stairs. Man, she started hitting stuff right away. I mean, as soon as she walked in the basement, in the room where they used to do all the gambling and stuff, she started spitting it out right away. I mean, she just started saying, oh, my God, I can feel that there's there was a lot of people stuffed in this room. They were partying, and I keep getting these names like associated with gambling, and it was really cool. It was a really cool experience.
Yeah,
that's pretty. Now,
and,
is there going to be video posted on that one?
Oh, of course.
Excellent. So I'll assume we'll find that under YouTube.com Eclipse Productions 89, right?
Yes, that episode will probably more than likely be released within about a week to a week and a half, depending on how busy I get with stuff. Yeah, but I'm trying to pump it out right now. I'm still waiting on some people to give me some footage. We're still working on EVPs. We have an EVP analyst. Her name's Marcia Mack. And she does a lot of the EVP work for us. We get really constricted on time. And with all, you know, John with his personal life and then me with all this editing, it's kind of hard for me to squeeze EVP analyzation to the mix. So she's part of CHIPS, Chicago, Illinois Paranormal Society, and she helps us out a lot.
Yeah, she really helps us out. She does a great job with EVPs. And also, another person we work with is Sunny. What's her last name? Boland?
Yeah.
And she's from Into the Night Paranormal.
Sunny LeBlanc.
And, she's awesome as well. So, and also, we also work with Jim Heater, who's from CHIPS.
Jim Heater, shout out!
Yeah, shout out to Jim Heater if you're listening.
That's our boy.
And those are just a few people who we work with in the paranormal field. And this Saturday, we're heading out to Ashmore Estates to go out to that fundraiser event that they're having out there. I don't know if you guys heard that the roof blew off of the building of Ashmore.
Yeah.
So they're doing a big old fundraiser thing out there. We'll be out that way this Saturday for that.
Yeah, that was back in the tornado that rolled through, tore off a portion of the building. Which,
yeah.
Anyone that's not familiar, Ashmore Estates is a fantastic old building. Just some of the history of that place is incredible. As far as actually going in it and, you know, feeling what kind of energy is there or what, I haven't been fortunate enough to do that, but definitely keep us posted on that one.
Yes.
Yeah, Dennis, you're CPR, but it is a hell of a ride for you.
Yeah, well, might be CPR, but I am of the eastern portion, which, for those that aren't aware, that's the smart portion.
Yeah.
See, I'm far enough away, I can get away with that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty excited about Ashmore. Well, just going there, and for us, it's kind of like vacation when we do this stuff. So
it's kind of like a road trip / photography CHIPS trip.
Exactly.
/ you know,
jacuzzi.
Yeah, just a little getaway type deal. And then if we could investigate something on the way there or on the way back, we'll do it, you know. We'll do a little investigation.
We're
yeah,
kind of a running gun kind of team. Yeah, we're kind of running gun.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's one of the things when, you know, the times that we've hung out and stuff like that, conversation we've had and everything, like online, just in general, like that's one thing that I love about you guys is the energy is always there. It's never like, I just don't feel like it, or it's half-assed when it's done. Like it's the energy's there, the excitement's there. Yeah. I love that about you guys. I mean, it's so cool to see that actually, and for everybody who hasn't met them, like you can, I'm telling you this firsthand, and it's no just, you know, trying to boost your ego or anything like that. It's the honest to God truth. Like you can physically see your passion when the conversation starts about
whether it's the photography end, the videography end, the paranormal investigative end, the scientific end. Like, it's just, I mean, there's so much passion that you guys exude. It's just, it's cool as hell to see.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate that. We really love doing what we do and really into it. Me and Dave, we put our heart and soul into what we do, and we love doing it. I don't know. it's just
yeah,
it's
a good time. Well, if you get bored and decide to make your way out to the East Coast, Virginia's got some awesome locations.
Mm-hmm. Actually, if all goes through, I mean, I still got to try and arrange my part for this. I'm not getting into that, but I think we're planning on going to, where is it, John? Pennhurst? Is that Virginia? That's where we're going?
Pennhurst.
That's not far away from me. That's actually in Pennsylvania.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, Pennhurst
Well.
Asylum, which, now, from what I've heard, they're trying to stop people from going to Pennhurst, which I can't understand why. I mean, it's a wonderful old building. And, you know, were they just going to let damn thing sit there and, you know, dilapidate? Whereas the tours and the investigations and everything else are what actually keeps that building up and running. If I could be wrong, and I could be mixing this up with another location, but, you know, I know there's a few that I've heard here lately, anyway, that are starting to disallow investigations, and they're stopping people from coming in. You know, so I definitely recommend, if you're going to try to get to Pennhurst, find out and make sure that they're not one of them that's trying to stop all the investigations.
Well, hopefully not. I think we're really close to being booked there, actually. I don't know. I haven't heard that, but hopefully not.
Now, also, while you're up in that neck of the woods, you've got to go check out Gettysburg.
Gettysburg.
Were we supposed to go there, David? Were we supposed
digital
to go
dowsing,
there,
we're supposed
with somebody?
To yeah, we were supposed to do a digital dowsing sponsored trip, which has been put on hold because Bill Chappell is very, very busy at this time. He's just very swamped with work. So we're kind of putting that off on the side. But we do definitely plan on running out through there. Our experiences with any kind of, with Battlegrounds and stuff have been very, very fruitful, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you were tuned in before you actually called in, but, you know, I've got Gaines Mill, Cold Harbor, Seven Pines, all within 10 minutes of my house.
Oh, wow.
And actually, Graham, who's on the CPR East team with me, he and I just went and, you know, just wandered the battlefields the other day. And, I mean, just the one battlefield, I believe the marker put deaths between just a few battles at that location at like 35,000.
Oh.
So, and I mean, this was a small area.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could definitely feel the energy that was there. And I mean, I just kept turning and looking every now and again to see if somebody was, like, poking out around a tree somewhere. It just felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one that's definitely, Dennis, and I know it's a place that we can't talk about what location it actually is, but there's one that's right up their alley that, if you want to let them know about the EVPs that you've gotten there of your best friend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've got one location here that I utilize that is pretty much my training grounds for my team and new team members, and, you know, just to keep us sharp.
Mm-hmm.
It's an actual office building at a cemetery. And I've got one room in this location that every time I go in there, he's decided that I am a fucker. Doesn't matter what. Every time I go in there, that's when I get on an EVP. And, you know, if I'm not in that room, like my team went in, I was waiting to get on the air. And
They didn't get anything in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever time they spent in there. I was in the room like 3 minutes, and I get, effer, I want to fight. Every time I go in that location, I get good ones. Which, I didn't mind him saying that he wanted to fight, but prior to that, when he choked me, I didn't like that one. And he called me effer at that time, too. But just really active location. And it doesn't take much provoking at all, if any, because I hadn't even provoked. I walked into the room, one of the other investigators went, all right, we didn't get anything at all when we were here a moment ago. Now Dennis is here. What do you want to say? That's when we got effer, I want to fight. I mean, it's, wow. It's a class A.
Of course, nice.
I've got one member on my team that's not Caucasian, but he's not black. I think Juan is Puerto Rican, and we have him in, like, the general manager's office, and I've got a class A that says hate inward, and he looks at me and goes, no, why I got to be that? I'm the only one in there that ain't white. Now I'm busting up laughing. So, I mean, it was the strangest thing. But every time I go to this location, we get something phenomenal. So if you guys do make it this way, man, by all means, I'll schedule us in there.
Cool.
Oh, man, we got to do it up, Dave. We got to do it up strong.
I'm definitely down
there sometime.
Yeah, there's when I was down,
a big road trip.
Yeah, when I was down there, we did Weston Plantation, which is, it's probably actual distance-wise about maybe 125 yards off of, and Dennis, you're going to help me out on this, on what actual river that it's on. But they still have the slave quarters. It's still the original foundation. Most of the stuff is original in there. It's more of a museum now. But we went in there, and it was just, it was one of those vibe things that you just got to where you're always constantly looking over your shoulder. I went down and I only told one person about this that was there. And I said, if you need me, I'll be in the basement. And everybody was outside, including the owners. There was not a single soul in the house. And I went down in the basement and did probably not too long, just because I was doing a solo, and there was only one person who knew. I did an EVP session down there, and I got literally just absolutely nothing. Like, I felt like I could take a nap in the place. But then when the rest of the group came in, that whole feeling of, like, fear just hit back again, and it hit hard to where there was actually three people who had to leave because they thought that they were going to be nauseous, they weren't feeling right. It was, and you have the security of the group that, you know, we were in. But it was just the whole attitude of the place changed when there were more people in there. But being solo, it was strange. Usually it's vice versa, but not at this place.
Yeah, between the battlefields and, this location that I've got access to, got more than enough to keep you occupied for a weekend.
Very cool.
So, hello. I'm sure you've been asked this 100 times, but what is on the bucket list of locations that you guys want to get into?
excuse me, for future reference? Like for in the future, I mean?
Yeah, like your bucket list. You know, of all the places if you had unlimited, unbridled access to any one location.
We have hundreds. I mean, we want to go everywhere, but I don't know. We really want to go across overseas. There's a lot of places over there that are really cool. The underground tunnels in France, those are really cool. The catacombs, that's definitely one. Me and John were talking about in Japan the suicide forest. That's a big one.
Yeah.
That place, I forgot the name of that. Oh my god. I can't remember the name. It's weird. But I mean, that's definitely in bucket list. I mean, that would be just insane. Not only the trip, but just it would be scary. I mean, we like going to scary places because we want to, you know, when we go somewhere scary and we get scared, you can feel it in the episode. And that place would personally scare the crap out of me. I mean, there's been more deaths there than any place in the world, more suicides. And so many people have died there. It's just like, Jesus. And I don't know, just something about the whole forest is just freaky as hell. And I like scary stuff, so I like being scared. So definitely on the top of my list.
Yeah, me, myself, I would like to do some more stuff in some places in Chicago, which our own hometown is very, very haunted, but me and David rarely get to do things here in Chicago, which we would love to do our own hometown.
It doesn't make much sense why we travel so much and we have hardly investigated really anything in Chicago.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so much here in Chicago in our own hometown that we could investigate, but I don't know. We just...
That kind of connects to the scary part.
No, that's something that I talk about, and I know that we've talked about it too. And I don't know if you guys have any answers or come across anything of why the hell Chicago is so hush-hush about all this kind of stuff. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it's extremely hard to convince somebody except for the main, like, you know, the main places that they let people in. But to try and get into a new place, it's like, as soon as you bring up the word paranormal, it's an instantaneous no.
Yeah.
They look
at you
like you're crazy.
Yeah.
I've had a couple instances in Chicago where that's happened. So.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know... perfect example was when everything was all set and done and good and Jeff and Ursula and Dane and, you know, everybody, we were supposed to do the murder castle investigation at the post office. And we had all of our stuff. We had all our ducks in a row. We had all our security checks passed. We had everything. But when the network put it on there that it was the word paranormal was in there, which was on all the applications, but when the network application went in, it was an instantaneous no from the Postmaster General in Washington. And
wow.
Even the post office at that point said absolutely not. Like, before it got to Washington, which didn't make any sense. Like, it's just, and like Harpo Studios, for example, is like,
boom,
if you talk
is,
to
David,
Oprah, what was that?
I've told David about that. Harpo Studios, let's do it. Get
yeah,
up
I was
the
trying to get
in
Harpo for a while.
Yeah, and Oprah openly, freely, and her staff will freely talk about it, but they won't let anybody go in there for any sort of validation at all. I mean, a lot of the places, like Harpo Studios was one of them, and there's also another building, which it's a factory now, and I forget the name of it, but they freak out about a lot of stuff during shift work and everything, actually during operating hours that they see. And it was one of the makeshift morgues and hospitals for the Eastland disaster.
John knows about that. What's it called, John?
The traffic court building? It used to be the old traffic court building.
Yeah, I think it is that one. Yeah, but it used to be something else, but I think now it's like a little smaller factory or whatever.
Huh.
I don't know. I'll have to get back to you guys on which one it is. But also out in Aurora, I mean downtown Aurora, if you go to, which is now Two Brothers Brewing, but it was the Roundhouse, there's Suicide Skyscraper, there's Stolp Island, there's a lot of places.
I just got out of that place. I just went there. I didn't know it was haunted.
to what, Two Brothers?
Yeah, great beer.
Yeah. Yeah, Domaine de Page. Prairie Path. Yeah, they got some really damn good stuff.
Yeah, they really do. It's craft beers. People come from all over to try it out.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that you said great beers, you know, kind of a redundant there. I don't think I've ever met a bad beer. I mean, an empty one I met, but I didn't like that one very much.
Well, I love my beer.
An empty beer is a bad beer.
That, there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm currently drinking Budweiser at the moment.
I'm actually sitting here enjoying an ice-cold Coke. All right. So, let's see. We're going to throw this out here real quick, fellas. YouTube.com, Eclipse Productions 89. Twitter, IPRA_strong. Good grief, y'all are all over the place. You don't make it easy for me to run all this down, do you? But I guess that's what you got to do. Now, also, you know, for those that are just listening, if you go ahead and come into the blog talk and take a look at the chat that's on here, they've put up half a dozen links to different videos they've posted. Make sure that you do go to YouTube.com, Eclipse Productions 89. I've looked at a bunch of their videos on there. They got some pretty good shit. So you definitely want to go over to YouTube, check them out.
Mm-hmm. And we're currently trying to reach our goal on Facebook, our Facebook like page.
You're trying to reach your goal?
Well, we're trying to get, right now we're trying to break 1,000 likes. We're really close. We got 919. So we need about 81 more. If anybody's listening, you want to go give us a thumbs up.
All right. And will the 1,000 like get a grand prize?
Well, we can send them a T-shirt or something, a strong T-shirt.
Oh, well, there you go.
I actually just wore one to the Casa Madrid. My sister, who actually I think is listening, on Christmas she got me this shirt. It was really funny because I'm very Christian and I'm a very faithful person. She got me the shirt with this big old cross on it, and then below it says strong. That was kind of funny.
Nice.
Yeah, I just wore that to the Casa Madrid. I had to bust it out in a video.
Nice.
All right. Let's see, where did my other cord go? Pardon me, gentlemen, I'm losing my mind here.
It happens when you rage, Dennis.
What does?
Exactly. Losing your mind.
Strong.
See, now we got to throw Strong out there. Gee, thanks. How bad enough Matt picks on me? I got you two clowns picking on me now. This isn't fair, man. I'm outnumbered here.
Yeah, Well, welcome back to the show that we did with David Rountree and Tracy Ray, where it was all gang up on Matt night.
Yeah, well, that one was fun. But, you know, at least, I mean, I grew up in the era where it was, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Of course, now we're in the area, you know, cabinets and glass may slit my throat and bash my head if John's around. That's beside the point.
There it is, John. There it is.
What's that? I didn't catch that.
I should.
Talking about bashing his head in the mirror.
I was giving you a hard time for the mirror incident. Yeah, I figured as long as I got you all on the phone, I'm safe.
Yeah.
You can't get me with a cabinet.
A lot of our viewers too are always commenting and saying, you know, John looks like he's ready to kick someone's ass. It's really funny. But John
but
always
no,
tries to be
totally the opposite. The nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, he's always defending himself, saying he's not like that.
Yeah, what's the old saying? Thou dost protest too much.
Yeah. Just don't get on his bad side. Just don't mess with him after he's had a few.
How many were involved in the cabinet incident?
My films are pretty close knit, so literally it was just me filming and then those two. So, I told John to give it all he had, and I said be as realistic as possible. We want to feel angry. We want to feel fear. And he just kind of slammed his head through the mirror and broke it. So.
Well,
yeah.
See, now on his resume as an actor, he can put down there, takes directions too well.
Yeah, right. It turned out very good, though. It turned out very good. Good stuff. And I hope everybody, who is RSVP'd at least can make it. We're still working on getting some more people in there, but... I'm expecting to have a pretty big turnout. It's really exciting.
Yeah, and there will be an after party at Luke of Lumen, Lumen, after the viewing.
And we expect you to be there, Matt.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Your last one, have you ever been out there to Lumen?
No, I haven't been there yet. I've heard actually a decent amount of people talking about it, but my drive to the cities recently, just because of being completely busy as hell, have been pretty few and far between.
It's actually located in a nice place. Like, it's not in the middle of the busy parts. It's right out in the outskirts. I'll send you some videos.
The address is 839 West Fulton Market, and that's Chicago, Illinois.
Yep.
And that's Club Lumen.
It's a fun place. You'll have a good time. I'll send you some videos I've done for them. I actually work there when I'm not doing paranormal stuff. I work there. I film for them. So it should be pretty cool. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
It's an open bar, and IPRA is picking up the tab. Is that true?
we're just going with the flow. We should have a nice table there, and it should be set up. So we're hoping we'll get some free stuff. It is the official after party for it, so we'll see.
I think with our crews that we've gone out with in the past, that we'd end up melting a credit card.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, without a doubt. I think the only credit card that can handle all of us on a cut loose kind of night would be like the American Express Black.
Yeah, the Black card. $5,000.
Don't come playing around with no platinum or, any of those little cheesy cards.
It will get melted.
So,
I used to, years ago, I worked for a hazmat company. So I traveled all over the country, and I was on one job site. There were 80 guys on the job site. About 40 of us kind of took over this little small barn in town. Now, to give you an idea, this place was in Moundsville, West Virginia. The bar was 3 blocks from Moundsville State Prison. So, now this is back in the late 80s when the prison was still active. But they opened up a bar tab one night and said, just get whatever the hell you want. Now, the next day, we all got in trouble. They opened the bar tab up for about an hour, and we put $2,800 on the bar tab in an hour. There was about 40 of us. They're like, yeah, that wasn't a good decision there, was it, Captain?
Needless to say, the superintendent's trying to figure out how to justify a nearly $3,000 bar tab. Hey, you said it. But, and we all got reamed. He's like, you know, when I said get whatever, that I had the bar tab, I didn't mean try to bankrupt us. Well, dumbass, you've seen us drink. And everybody's walking around double-fisting. Yeah. That was a rough one.
Hey, speaking of bar tabs and open bars and events, are you guys going to the Great Escape on the 10th?
I don't think we've heard of it.
Oh yeah, there's going to be actually a decent amount. I'll send you guys the info on it. But yeah, the Great Escape, which is over by O'Hare, I did an event right around Halloween with WTMX 101.9 that they had a whole big group of people. But yeah, there's going to be pretty much everybody from Chicago area is going to be there. It's cheap. I mean, for what it is, I mean, it gets expensive when you start to bring the booze into it, but for the actual event, it's only $15. And if you go on Ursula's site, ChicagoHauntings.com, you can actually buy tickets there, or you can pay when you get there. But yeah, it's
cool.
Going to be pretty much, yeah, it's going to be pretty much
cool.
Everybody.
Let's have to check it out.
Yeah. I'll be there, Ursula's there, Carl's there, Ed Shanahan, Len Dorman, like the, you know, it's everybody from around here, so, plus some. But we have the
cool
place. I think the schedule of it is from, I think, 8 to 1, I want to say. So, it should be a pretty decent night.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
All right, so what's coming up on y'all's immediate investigations list?
We're our next investigation is going to be the Roth home in Watsika.
And what are we hoping to find? Well, I know what we're hoping to find. I was almost asked a dumbass question. I don't do that. That's Matt's part of the show.
Yep.
What kind of stories and so forth go along with the location?
Possession.
Nice.
Yeah. With the Roth home, one of the most famous accounts of, one of the most famous and first accounts of possession in America were documented.
So basically, you want to make sure all the medicine cabinets are gone prior to John getting possessed, right?
Oh, Jesus.
Right.
If
exactly.
John was, in fact, me and a previous investigator were jokingly talking about being, if John were to be possessed, how we would react to it. And cause this was at Bobby Mackey's. We were joking, and we said, if John gets possessed, we're booking it out of there. And we were actually jokingly saying that he would be headbutting people, and with each headbutt he would be saying strong. And that's a scary thought. I mean, that's a scary thought if you've ever met John. So
yeah, something tells me everybody on the team except John would need a helmet.
Yeah.
And, which, you know, when he got done, he may need a helmet, you know, permanent, but it's
yeah,
a good start.
Exactly.
So,
and, of course, you know, we go, you know, there's underlying reasons why John's on the team, you know. I'm like, you know, we go to a lot of dangerous and scary locations. I'm like, tell me a little bit about yourself, John. What do you do? Well, you know, I kind of work at a couple of different bars. I'm a bodyguard. I'm like, okay, you're in. Let's go.
There you go.
And, you know, I John, I met you. I love you. You're awesome. You are a sweet guy. Like, you do it, when you get your pissed off look that you've like done jokingly. I mean, yeah, there is the intimidation factor, but David, I don't, you know, it's, and for both you guys, it's in comparison of going on location and just having somebody like a badass like John. Yeah, it's awesome, but Dennis has cops on his team. So
that is not good.
Yeah,
on a 5-man team, I have 2 active city officers or locality officers. One, a third one that used to be on a local department, and he used to be a federal officer as well. So I kind of got the intimidation factor covered.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, they have the luxury of parking a squad car outside of their investigation.
That would be
nice.
That would
awesome.
Be nice. You can do that.
Go strong.
Hey guys, yeah, I definitely appreciate you guys coming on. I mean, I love talking to you guys. I'll see you soon at the film festival, and yeah, I'll send you the information on the 10th and everything. Means a lot to me to take time out of your schedules and everything. So I definitely appreciate it. Had Tim, lost him, and Tim is back now. So got to chat with him for a little bit. So but yeah, thank you guys.
Awesome.
You
thanks for having us.
Yeah, and afterwards, after the show, I'll post all your guys' links and everything, and you know, get it out there and see if we can't completely fill the portage for you, which I know isn't going to be a problem.
Cool.
Yeah, I was
going
to say,
awesome.
Make sure
thanks.
To shoot that link over to Matt so he can get it up on the CPR site.
Cool. Sounds good.
Good.
We just want to thank everybody for supporting us, and thanks for having us on the show. We love you all. Strong. Talk to you all later.
We definitely enjoyed having you, as we do every time. But gentlemen, take care and be safe. I won't be able to make it to the Portage from Richmond, Virginia, but I'll certainly be there in spirit.
Awesome.
Awesome, awesome. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks again. I'm clocking out.
All right.
I'm out.
Guys.
I'm out.
Appreciate it. See you soon.
All right, guys, strong.
Take care, guys. All right. That was definitely pretty interesting. So for those that didn't catch all of it, make sure you check out Eclipse Productions 89 over at YouTube. They got some pretty neat videos out. And I understand Timothy's back on with us now.
Yeah, I am. Hello.
There you are.
Good evening.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's your night going? I know we had you, then we lost you, and now you're back. So,
yeah, I was waiting for the intro there.
Yeah,
we kind of thought maybe the aliens would come down and snatch you up or something. Just all of a sudden, you disappeared off chat and disappeared out of the room, and off the phone. Like, oh crap, we've lost another one of the aliens.
Yeah, I went to the parallel universe, you know.
Or to the black hole known as Blog Talk.
Yeah, Blog Talk.
For the past 3 shows, we've had nothing but technical issues with Blog Talk. So it seems to be that it's worked out now, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
It's kind of like using Skype once in a while, right?
Oh.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't.
Yeah, okay. Dennis, I think we know all about Skype.
Oh, man. Don't even get me started. We had a 3-hour conversation one night. Well, no, we had a 15-minute conversation in 3 hours one night. It was horrible.
Wow.
So I see you're getting ready to put Supernatural Realm back on the airwaves. Moving over to which network are you going to?
Z-talk.
Which network are you? Okay, that was it. I'm trying to find my notes, and I don't know what the hell I did with them.
Next Friday. Next Friday at 7 o'clock to be exact. Yeah, 7 Eastern.
All right. So I guess I'll have to get a Z-talk
membership set up so I can slip into the chat and whatnot and hang out with you for a little while.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be cool.
Fridays, it's going to be 6 to 7 my time, so your show will be wrapping up as I'm leaving work at 7.
Okay.
So I can actually hop in chat pretty much every show and just sit at my desk and procrastinate. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And the boss will walk by and go, oh, look, he's doing as usual.
Maybe I'll have to have you on my show sometime, huh?
Yeah, I can take the last hour of work and just sit in back and talk.
Sit back and chat for a while. That message I posted on my Facebook yesterday stirred up a little controversy, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, that was rather interesting. That was half the reason why I reached out to talk to you and see, you know, try to get a little perspective behind the comment. For those that don't know, I'm going to go ahead and read this. It's his post that ended up with 26 comments, or 26, 78, yeah, it's about 30 comments, I guess. Josh Gates is a closed-minded paracelab that gets in front of the camera to sell cornflakes. He does not want or says that paranormal to be proven scientifically. Anyone that plans on watching Stranded, I wouldn't. All right. Thank God I'm on a phone and not sitting in a studio that can actually find me. So share a little bit behind this, Timothy, and tell us why you got this feeling, Mark.
I guess when I heard him on Radio yesterday, he was saying that the paranormal would never be proven scientifically, that the people watching, and even some of the investigators, want to mimic what they see on TV. And in my opinion, that's not really doing a scientific investigation, because I've talked with, you know, Thomas Fusco, has a lot of theories out there, and David Rowntree has proven his theories with the equipment and the a test that he's done.
Yeah, in that though, I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate on that. Coming from a scientific background myself, the one thing, not in paranormal, just in degree and in life, the one thing to actual prove something with science is being able to replicate and duplicate. And
right.
In this field, it's so hard because nothing's on cue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, there is that factor that goes into it, to where me personally, I used to advertise myself as a scientific based team, and yes, in certain ways that there are, but
right.
I can't even self-proclaim that anymore, just due to the fact that I can't replicate anything. I can't, you know, I can set up tests, I can set up theories, I can set up hypotheses, but to test with repetition is impossible, nearly.
Right.
So
that's an issue that I have. You know, these paranormal teams and groups out there, you know, they claim they're scientific, but yet they mimic. You know, mimic the TV shows, so I mean, that's not really science. The only person that I really know that does that is like I said, Dave Rowntree and his team. So. And another thing is with me, the equipment that he does purchase is like, you know, in the rounds of, you know, $500-$600 or higher, you know, and you know, some people can't really, you know, can't really afford that certain times, but
yeah, and knowing him and having long conversations about paranormal with him too, and so is Dennis. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that isn't accessible to the average Joe on just a standard budget. I mean, when you start to get into the some pieces are, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's rolling that deep, then you know, more power to them. But I've also had luck with a bag of flour from, you know, the grocery store for 99 cents.
But I also agree with, you know, with what they say with the methodology and stuff. I mean, in my opinion, a lot of it has to change. You know, like I said, you know, and you know, with the approach to the investigation and stuff.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's still young in the field, so to speak. I mean, mm-hmm. we've been trying to prove the existence of an afterlife or you know, something that, well, we've been trying for decades to prove that ghosts exist. I mean, hell, mm-hmm. centuries. You can look back on, you know, hieroglyphics in the Egyptian tombs and the Mayan caves and ruins and everything. You can see that, you know, they believed in it, but they never, I mean, how do you really document it? And, mm-hmm. you know, David Roundtree's got the perfect statement. We can kind of prove now that the paranormal is there. Now we're trying to define what the hell is a ghost. You know,
right.
The team comes in and says, we saw a ghost. Okay, define it. Well, it was a shadow. No, it was a mist. Pick one. You know,
Thomas says that it's a localized bending of space-time is what causes a lot of the paranormal effects.
And that, David's right along with that same theory, and that, you know, they're both believing that there's a wormhole, that
mm-hmm.
we're actually able to look back through time and see that moment in time.
Right.
So, I don't know, I think it's fantastic, and I'm hoping like hell that we can get, you know, some good logical explanation that pretty much everybody can settle on is this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, much like anything else, you're going to have, everybody's got an opinion, and they're all going to differ, and guy A is going to say, no, this is what it is, no, this is what it is. Yeah, will it ever be settled? Yeah, hell, who knows?
Right.
In the meantime, I'm just having fun trying to figure out, you know, what is the most common frequency that I can capture EVPs? What
mm-hmm.
is the most common? Well, I mentioned it earlier. I always end up with, like, static or some sort of disruption in my recorders
mm-hmm.
when I show an EV or a EMF hit on either a K2 or a meter.
Right.
So I want to find the correlation between, you know, what's actually causing that. As far as what's a ghost,
mm-hmm.
I'm not so concerned at this point about figuring that out. I'll leave that to the good guys like, you know, Dave and let him
and
come up with an answer for that one. Yeah, Dave and John can figure that one out. It goes over my head.
I've even taught, you know, sounds and voices on my little cheap $50 Sony voice recorder that I can't explain. You know, like I had a voice one time, the male would say, leave me alone. You know, I couldn't explain what it said. You know, someone else listening to that might say it was something else, but there was definitely a voice that wasn't, you know, me or the other person that was with me. So it had to come from somewhere, but, you know, like I said, it definitely wasn't one of us.
Well, and
yeah.
And actually, Dennis and I have had a long conversation about it because both of us have the Zoom H4N. I, like, personally, when I'm doing an investigation, especially an EVP session, I use, like, four different brands of recorders because they all record in different frequencies and on different levels, and they all have different pitch levels and hit points. Well,
mm-hmm.
And earlier at the beginning of the show in the conversation, we were talking about the Sony versus the H4N. I have two Sonys. I have one that's just a regular, it doesn't have the USB transfer. It's the plug-in on the top, which is the same model, just one model lower.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I've gotten better EVPs on my Sony than I ever have on the H4N. And
right.
it's, it's like, you know, the H4N is a studio recording device for the music industry, basically. I mean, it's not to take vocal notes in a dissertation or in a presentation. It's to record with the I don't know why the name just flew out of my head. I'll throw one out there. The two stagnant mics that you can plug in the bottom and run two separate microphones to run a dual channel opposite that. Like, it's that's set up for a recording studio. Well, that's also trained to not pick up anything white noise. It's designed to function on closed circuit and what's right there. Mm-hmm. So, what you were talking about with your Sony, I love my Sony. I will run my Sonys till the day that they don't work anymore, and then I'll just go buy two more Sonys.
Yeah. That's all I need. Sony cameras, Sony voice recorders. I mean, I love that, you know, the Sony product. To me, it's the only thing I will use.
Yeah, I mean, I run, like, the four that I was talking about. I have two RCAs. I have two different Sonys. I have two different Olympuses that are completely different spectrums of the recording, and plus the H4N. And Dennis even has one more. You have the H2?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, so, I've got an H2 and the H4N. And I still love my Sony. And it's just a little old cheap handheld with, I don't know, I think it's got like 128 meg onboard memory. And doesn't even have a card slot. Yeah, but I've picked up some phenomenal EVPs on that one. I mean, I set it up on a banister on an upstairs in the house. The rest of my team and myself, there's nobody upstairs. I mean, you know, like I said, I've got police officers on my team. They did a full sweep. It's a private residence. I just want to make sure that the client's not screwing with me, you know, and the kid's hiding in a closet or something.
Right.
Well, I set the recorder at the top of the steps. We all went downstairs, and it sounds like somebody leaned into the recorder, like you were talking into a microphone on stage, and said, "What are they doing? I don't know them." Perfect. Class A EVP. But nobody was there. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, to me, we've proven that there is something after we die.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what's, you know, you had the right idea of, somebody said it wasn't me, what's, you know, what did it?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
exactly.
So,
if, you know,
I mean, go ahead.
I mean, you know, if there's only two people, you know, two of you there in the room or that you know, general area, and you get a voice or someone talk on your voice recorder, you know, it's not you, then, you know, there's no, you know, what else could it be other than, you know, this disembodied voice or whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, I've even, you know, we've heard I'm pretty certain that we've all heard a disembodied voice where you know there's nobody else in the building with you, and all of a sudden you hear somebody talking in the next room with your own ears. You run in there to see who the hell broke into the building, and there's nobody there.
Right.
And it's, I mean, we've certainly proven that there is something.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it definitely does exist. I mean, there's no question about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we had just touched into the theory of a wormhole, and we're actually looking back in time to see these events occur.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't explain an intelligent response to an EVP. You know, if they said, you know, hey, Betty Joe, go get the laundry off the line, well, that could be that moment in history, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But something that, you know, I damn sure wasn't around in history when those folks were there. How can they call out my name?
And I think we pretty much all have that. So that kind of, you know, to me, it kind of takes away the wormhole theory a little bit.
Because
you're not just looking back at history. Now, is it possible that they're actually able to utilize that wormhole to join us in present time? And is that how we're able to record them giving intelligent responses?
Mm-hmm. It could be.
You know, that's a decent
one. I mean, it's possible. To me, maybe it's possible that the wormhole could open up, you know, open up another parallel universe to the spirit realm or whatever. You know, I mean, to me, that might explain some of it.
Yeah, and you know, I guess the other question that I would have to ask then, if they can come through it, can we go back through it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a location wormhole or you know, I mean, there's got to be something that describes it and defines it as, and it's got to be locational. I mean, that's the only thing I can think. You know, is the energy just right at that location? You know, is that why that entity is staying there? And is that how they were able to communicate?
I've also heard, too, that, like, if you, you know, go investigate a place like Waverly Hill, you know, with all the groups, you know, being there and investigating there, could that be, you know, a voice of one of the investigators from a previous moment in time, like maybe a month before? Because I know the energy, you know, attaches itself to the environment. So is it possible that it could be something in that environment, like I said, from a voice from a previous investigator that you got on your voice recorder? I mean, I've also heard that that's possible, too.
I suppose it could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, as long as it's kind of a generic statement. Now, if it's an intelligent response to a question that you have just asked, well, then that takes that theory out, too. It's not a lingering thing. It's, you know, it's happening in the here and now.
Right. I've heard it. I've maybe picked it. Was on a recent show that Thomas was co-host on, and the voice said that the voice, I guess, asked where the steps were. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, since when does a spirit need the steps? You know, I'm just like, that's got to be fake somehow, because I don't think a spirit would ask that unless, you know, unless whoever passed didn't realize they were dead or whatever. I thought that was kind of funny to hear that.
Well, that also makes me wonder if they had done some remodeling. And now, I got called to do a kind of a remote reading on a house up in Connecticut. My daughter and son-in-law are in Connecticut. Friends of theirs were redoing this house. This thing had the old cellar steps, you know, like you would go in from outside. And then they... You know, the house is from 1892, I think. And they've also put steps in from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had torn out those steps on the outside and a spirit had asked, you know, where are the steps? Well, that would make kind of sense then, because, you know, he's looking around going, this isn't what I remember it being. And, you know, it's kind of like you and I going through our house and all of a sudden... You know, you go to work one day, you come back and your chair is moved. Where the hell is the chair?
Right.
You know, so it makes me wonder, I mean, one of the biggest questions that I have is what is the recognition of the other side? You know, what can they see? What can they, what do they recall?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if, you know, you hear about, well, I saw a shadow walk through that wall. Well, at one point in time when that shadow was a living person, was there actually a doorway at that point? You know,
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I've noticed when, you know, I've talked to clients of mine, like you said about recent remodeling, the energy and the activity seems to pick up. It seems to increase, you know, after the remodeling's done or during the remodeling, for whatever reason.
Yeah, and that also, you know, it makes me wonder what, you know, I mean, you know, we've all heard about the fight or flight theory, you know, if someone comes into your house that you don't know, and, you know, you have an option to either stand and fight or you can run. Is that the same that the spirits deal with? You know, all of a sudden there's somebody in their house they don't know. So, I don't know, it's, I mean, one of the protocol questions that I have during any EVP session that I run is, what's it like on the other side?
Right.
Now, one of the questions before that actually is, do you know you're dead? But, and if not, I guess.
What's been some of the responses that you've got after asking that? Have you gotten
I've gotten or? I've gotten cold. At one time I did ask, are you able to visit relatives when you're dead? And the answer that I got was no. Well, that doesn't make sense, because you constantly hear, you know, children see grandma or grandpa or great grandma or whatever that they've never met, but can describe that person to a T. So that one didn't make sense to me. But I've also had, I think we've all come across that smart-ass entity that gives you, you know, smart-ass responses.
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't, then you're probably not doing something right. Yeah, I mean, you know, was that one being a smart-ass? You know, can you visit relatives when you're dead? No.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah. That might have been one of those smart ass answers, you know? maybe
that's
you
what
really
I'm thinking.
Can.
Yeah, and like, okay. But yeah, I mean, as far as some of the responses that I've gotten from asking, you know, what's it like on the other side, I've gotten cold. I got a response one time that said dark. So, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, so far I'm picturing it as cold and dark on the other side, and I'm not real sure I want to buy a ticket on that damn bus.
You're not sure you want to go there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, I've also, there have been more times than not where I don't get a response.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, during your investigations, do you have, like, protocol questions that you always ask?
What I normally do is I'll get as much, you know, information about a location, you know, with the client before we do the investigation. That way we know, you know, what kind of direct questions to ask. I mean, sometimes we get pretty good responses with that. But I feel that, you know, research into the locations crucial in conducting our investigation with the EVPs and, you know, your setting up of your cameras and everything. You know,
yeah.
Try to find out where the most active locations are, you know, what exactly they are seeing or feeling there.
That's, you know, one thing is, first off, placement is key, because nobody has any clue of where something's going to happen.
Right.
But the, you know, there's a couple things that I've noticed in just my investigations, and here's the weird thing, and I've kind of see with pattern throughout history of investigating places and other people investigating places. One, technique comes into it. Secondly, where you're, you know, like the bond and familiarity is what I is what Dennis was talking about earlier, and I'm sorry that I'm chiming in this late about it.
That's fine.
It's, you know, speaking of and tying in the shows, for example, when you somebody from a show goes to a location, they have 3 or 4 days,
mm-hmm.
they're going to get more than somebody has in one night, not only because their time there is longer, but the correlation that I make with it is when somebody, if somebody were to walk into your house right now and they were walking around with a whole bunch of stuff and asking you to come talk to them, would you be so receptive to that? I mean, no, you'd probably pull your 12-gauge out.
Probably not, right.
You'd probably pull your 12-gauge out and go look for them and turn them into who you're trying to talk to. But,
yeah, especially if they're being rude to you and you know, getting kind of irate with you. You know, I wouldn't want to respond back either.
Yeah, no, you're going to go hide in the corner of the closet. You're going to call the cops, and if the cops never show up, hopefully that they're just going to leave.
Right.
So it's the same thing, and I've had this conversation with many, many people about it. If you establish a rapport, you establish a familiarity with the spirit, it's going to be more apt to come out and be like, you know what, really doesn't seem like a bad guy.
Right.
So, yeah, let's go out and see what they have to say. If you just walk in, first time you've been there for an hour and you're like, you know, you're a piece of crap, you're worthless, come out and scream at me and punch me. It's like, no, well, I know you can't see me, if it's intelligent. I know you can't see me. I know you can't do anything. You're not going to find me if I don't let you know where I am. So, you know what? Forget you.
Right.
It's still human nature if you're in a situation where you're dealing with a past human being.
Mm-hmm.
So, secondly, the other...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, just real quick. The other point I want to make, yes, paranormal has been established because paranormal is outside of the normal, and
right.
It ties in with UFOs, it ties in with Bigfoot, it ties in with everything. Like, that's already been established.
Right.
Proof of the afterlife has not.
Right.
Sorry,
I guess until someone dies and comes back, you know, nobody really knows, you know,
yeah.
what the other side's like, or what really happens over there.
Yeah, that was just a little bit of my OCD.
I often wonder, too, like, you know, say that, you know, that is a spirit that's communicating with you, someone that's dead. Are they the same in the afterlife as they are when they were alive? Do they act the same, feel the same? You know, do they change? You know, I've often wondered that, too. You know, what exactly the person is like on the other side, if it is a spirit or a dead person.
Yeah, that's... Well, Tracy Ann and I had discussed that once before regarding the, I don't know if you were able to hear earlier when I was telling about the location that I do kind of as my team's training grounds.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Tracy's a rather strong psychic. And she was, you know, I asked her to kind of tune in and see what you can feel about this dude. And one of the first things, you know, I didn't give her a whole lot of information. I don't have much information on the guy. I haven't gotten a name out of him. I just keep getting either threatened or choked.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she said that, you know, one of the things that I get is he's a bit of a bully.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, yeah, it turns out that he is. I mean, you know, the last EVP that I got out of him, he called me an effer and said he wanted to fight. Before that, the EVP that I got from another visit that we did there was choke that effer. So, yeah, I think he's a bit of a bully.
Yeah, I would say.
And she said that he felt that, you know, during life, he was a bully also.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make you wonder, though, does the personality change after they've passed? You know, I don't know.
Exactly.
And that's one of the, you know, that one of the main reasons that I got in this, I just want to know what the hell's on the other side.
Right. I think that's the reason why a lot of us do it, you know. Find the answer that you're looking for and see what's out there and what's really going on.
Yeah, I mean,
And some people just do it for the thrill too, because they see it on television. You know, they didn't want to try to mimic what's going on.
Yeah, well, there's too many of them that, you know, I hate to say this, and I'll say it anyway because I'm not one to sugarcoat much of anything. There's too many jack wagons out there that have decided that, you know, ooh, these guys got a TV show out of this. They can travel all over the world and do this. I can't too. Let me get into this. Well,
exactly.
I've been trying to talk to them since I was 10. You know, this ain't about getting a TV program and, you know, going broke, which, you know, we've spoken with a lot of the people that have had shows, and most of them are kind of bitter about the experience from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly don't want, I got enough to be bitter about. I'm forced to deal with living humans every day. Trust me, I have enough to be bitter about.
Right.
But, you know, I want to know what the hell's on the other side. You know, that there's a country music song out that says it can't all end in the ride in a long black limousine. Well, I wholeheartedly believe that. There's got to be something beyond this. And if I have my way, I'm going to come back and haunt the shit out of a whole lot of people.
That's my plan.
I'm probably first on Dennis's list, though, so.
Well, you are the first one.
Some of my members at the top of the list. What's that?
Yeah. Well, see, Matt and I have a promise with each other. We have a pact that whichever one of us dies first, the other one is to rush there to do an EVP session and see if we can talk to them.
Uh-huh.
So, and I'm kind of thinking now what the script is going to go like with that. Dennis, can you hear me? Are you here with us? Kevin, I'm not getting anything. Ouch, son of a bitch, would you just hit me in the head?
Yeah.
That would be... I've seen, you know, the Facebook memes and so forth. Every day I'm forced to add to the list of people I'm going to haunt the shit out of when I die.
Yep.
I fully believe that.
Uh-huh. I know.
So, of all the locations that you've done investigations on, what is the one thing that stands out most in your mind, be it an EVP, be it video capture, you know, personal feeling? What's the one thing that stands out most to you from your investigations?
2 years ago, we did a local building that was a former prison.
Hey, sorry to interrupt you real quick. Tim, I apologize to interrupt you. If you can throw out some plugs really quick, we're starting to run out of time, then we can talk after and the archive recording. So just any plugs you got, feel free, throw them out there, and then we'll get back into the story.
Okay. If anybody has any questions about me or my team, you can go to butlerparanormal.com and check us out. And we're also on Facebook.
All right. It's Timothy Roxbury. And you can also catch him on Z-Talk Radio. You want to throw that plug out real quick?
Yeah, next Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern. I'm a host of Supernatural Realm.
Yeah, I personally will definitely be listening.
Okay.
Just we always run out of time. Tim, anytime, and any place, just feel free. I want to have you on for, you know, another time to where we can get into more. But I do want to say thank you to you for taking the time tonight. And, yeah, well, if you got time, we'll keep talking afterwards. Thank you to David Scott and John Stevens from IPRA. Great guys. Love you guys. And we will see you next Wednesday. Same time, same place. So thank you, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. And, Tim, just hang on, and we'll talk a little more in the archive portion.
And now we are in.
All right. We do this every damn week. We got a two-hour show, and we keep blabbing. The longest we've hit so far is 3 hours and 1 minute.
Really?
But it goes into, yeah. I mean, it goes into the podcast. It goes into archive where they can still listen to it. Anybody that goes to the archive can still, you know, they'll hear this part of what we're talking about.
Right.
So back to your story. You and your team were doing the old prison. How long had it been shut down before you got in?
I think it closed down in the mid-1950s, I do believe. And it's currently being used as offices for Armstrong County for clerical and office space and whatnot. But my team was upstairs doing EVPs up there, and my cousin and I were down in the basement. And I consider myself empathic. I can feel energies. I could feel, you know, if there's something there. And when my cousin and I were down there, and I kept telling him I feel something in front of me start snapping pictures. He snapped about two or three pictures, and we looked at it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a little girl standing there. And he's like, no shit, let me look at it. And he's like, wow. That was the first, real first experience that I really had. And to be able to capture something like that on a digital camera, that was, to me, that was pretty impressive, you know.
It was just a standard digital camera. It wasn't infrared or, you know, full spectrum or anything?
It wasn't infrared. It had infrared filters on it. That's why if you looked at my photos on my Facebook page, it's got kind of like a red tint to it. And that's the IR filter bringing out the image. That was my first in real experience catching something like that. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to make of it at first. So I sent it to some investigators that they're familiar with photography, and they're like, yeah, that's a girl standing there. I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah. I was like, cool. It was nice to get some validation for what was in the photo.
Yeah. So, cool. I mean, you actually felt it before he snapped the pictures, and that's why he snapped them?
Right. Because I told him, I asked him, I said, could you start taking pictures in front of me? I wasn't sure why I felt it or if I felt it for sure, but he started snapping pictures after I told him to, and that's what he got.
Cool. So, now explain, I mean, I'm curious, Matt's questioned me on this before. Graham, who's one of my teammates, has questioned me on it. Explain what it feels like to you when you feel a presence there.
I don't know, I feel the energy signature. I feel all their emotions. I don't really know how else to explain it. You know, I just know when there's something there. I can feel if they're sad, if they're happy. If they're male or female most of the time.
See, the reason I asked that
I can't physically see them, but I can feel them. I know that there's a presence there.
See, the closest I've come to that is just, and the analogy I always use is standing in line at the bank or the gas station or something like that when you feel that somebody has invaded your personal space.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. About the closest that I get to it. Yeah. And
sometimes, if you're in a crowd, if you're in a mall or
a crowd of people, sometimes it can be tiring because you're feeling other people's energies, and you know, sometimes you wonder if that's you or if it's somebody else, that, you know, someone else's feelings that you're picking up, you know. So it can be pretty.
Well, what it is to me is more of just being like being encroached on, like not an actual like feeling of a presence, just feeling that somebody is within your personal space, and
right.
that's something that, you know, I've been meaning to talk to David about too, is like not on a psychic level, not on a empathic level, not on anything like that, just why does the human body react that way when you know that somebody is basically on top of you without even seeing them because they're out of your line of sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my own ideas about it, and I honestly want to know what his feeling is about it too, to where
mm-hmm.
it doesn't, and it could be somebody who is not in the field. It could be somebody who's not, you know, like has nothing to do with paranormal whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's had that feeling, like somebody's just in, like breathing over your shoulder, invading your personal space, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And why the human body actually reacts that way.
Right.
Yeah, see, you and I have, you know, some abilities anyway. So you and I feel shit differently, I believe, than Matt
mm-hmm.
does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas you, as an empath, you pick up their emotions and whatnot.
Right.
Me, I can, you know, sometimes, depends on if I've got my shields dropped, I can actually
mm-hmm.
Hear like their thoughts or you know, it's like they can tell me things.
Mm-hmm.
Matt doesn't have any of those things, so
like telepathically.
He's just going on. Yeah, I mean, most of the time I'm not real sure how to put this. I had a location that I was asked about.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see? What do you hear? Blah, blah, blah. Well, from, 800 and some miles away, I described the place to them, told them what I saw and what I felt and everything else. Mm-hmm. I was dead on. Matt can't do those things, but he kind of feels like, you know, when somebody has encroached on his space, even if it's just an energy. So, you know, I don't know. I kind of, from time to time, I wish that was the way I could cope. It's just know that somebody was there and that was the extent of it. I don't need to hear them, feel them. You know, Matt asked me, like, he was doing an urban legend thing and asked me what I saw. And I felt, well, I saw a fist coming at my face, and then I felt the pain of being punched in the nose. And I mean, I'm sitting at the dining table all by myself, just paying attention to the conversation with Matt, and I saw a fist, and then my nose hurt so damn bad, my eyes watered. I mean, it was like I just got punched in the nose.
Hmm.
I'm like, okay, this shit's not cool. So, yeah, it's, you know, you feel their emotions or their energies. Sometimes I feel their fist.
Oh, wow. I can tell whether, you know, something's evil, something's negative. If it's a negative energy, if it's positive energy, if it's a child or whatever, you know.
Oh, and that's
kind of cool.
That's something, and talking to the, you know, main spotlight psychics on TV, and also with Dennis and Tracy Ann, Tracy Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, how long is this list?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
so,
we talked to Chelsea as well.
Yeah.
I'd talk to Tracy too, see what her viewpoint is on it as well.
Yeah, no, like all of them and including Dennis and Chelsea Damali from she was on Hot on Encounters on Bio. It's just a laundry list of people. Jeff Resman, who was the one who started this whole fiasco, and great guy, like I love him to death. But he's local. He does 1 Foot Out of the Grave is his show. They took a little hiatus, but they're starting to get back into it too. And Dennis, I know you know I'm talking about right now. I physically have it in my hand, little piece of paper that we were at a Halloween party at a sushi place that I frequent, which isn't far from the urban legend that Dennis was talking about. And it was myself and my friend Mark, excuse me, who I started CPR with. He grabs a chopstick package that has the piece of paper. You rip the top off, pull the chopsticks out. Well, he takes a pencil, which is the one you order the sushi with, takes the pencil, pulls the chopsticks out, sets them on a table, and just starts writing. And he writes down, blonde hair, short, 5 feet, 5 inches tall, skinny, really cute, early to mid-20s. And he folds it in half and passes it to me. And I'm kind of looking like, what the hell is this?
Wow.
So I open it up, and I was looking. I'm like, 5 foot, 5 foot five, blonde, really cute, early mid-20s. Where the hell is she? So, like, bring her over. He goes, no, she's not with us anymore. I'm like, well, that doesn't help. What do you mean not with her? Like, she's left? Is that like, wait, she left? Yeah, so that's what I was thinking is he goes, yeah, she's been watching you for like almost the past 2 hours, and I couldn't not say anything because she just came right up in my face and said, tell him. So I'm like, okay. I didn't see anybody walk. I'm still thinking this is a living human being.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nobody that walked up to our table. I was there with Jeff Mudgett, his daughter, Susan Sherman. Like, it was a paranormal Halloween is kind of what the party was.
Oh, really?
Well, when you...
was that your first experience seeing something like that?
No, not at all. What's really interesting about that is like the urban legend that Dennis is talking about, mm-hmm. I have a 167-page police report that has a woman named Audrey Moore, who was 5 feet, 5 inches tall, with short blonde hair. She was really cute, and she was 24.
Hmm.
Which,
have you been able to validate who she was or anything?
Oh, yeah. I have a 167-page police report of who she was.
Holy shit.
Dennis, I didn't tell you this. I mapped it out recently. It's 3.2 miles from the restaurant. So, this is the same one that Dennis did the reading where he got punched in the face, where it was like, I mean, everything was spot on.
Hmm. So who was she then?
She was kind of a misfit, kind of hung around with the wrong crowd.
Uh-huh.
And she was murdered back in, shit, off the top of my head, it was 1984, 1985.
Mm-hmm.
Her body, she was actually killed, or, the police report says, but when Dennis and I were looking into it, it makes a little more sense. The police report says she was killed in the meat packaging district in Chicago, and her body was dumped out in Oswego.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was dumped, and this is where you don't think punch in the face gets really weird. This is where it gets even more weird. Dennis knew nothing about this at all. Like,
mm-hmm.
literally, absolutely nothing about this. She was dumped in a well with her hands and feet bound by barbed wire.
Mm.
And this is the second time that we've done this, that Dennis got the feeling of being choked or being,
mm-hmm.
like, restrained.
Right.
And now, when I got punched in the nose, he asked me to describe what's around.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, I can see that there's a rather large guy, and I described him at the time.
Wow.
He's trying to get her out of the car. And about this time, I got just blasted in the snoot. What the hell? So,
you must have punched him,
yeah.
then. Or...
I think the punch was to subdue her. But she was found sucked up in a farmer's irrigation pump. Her body had been sucked up into the irrigation pump.
Ew, wow.
Yeah, and it was about, or they speculate about a week to a week and a half after her disappearance.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to the police department with your claims?
No. That's something around here that just does not hold any sort of water. There's certain areas that are more susceptible to it or receptive to it, but not around here.
Yeah, I was just curious, you know, if in fact you did go to them, what you know, what they would have said to you, or how receptive they would have been.
Well, the other messed up thing, Dennis, if you want to elaborate on this, what did she show you of the first night that we were there?
The car that you showed up in?
Yeah.
Yeah. I told him what color car, and he pulled up in. I told him what kind of car it was. She actually showed me the headlights on the car, showed me where they parked, how they were pulled over to the side of the road. And what I saw were little Plymouth neon headlights. And I'm like, please tell me you did not go there in a purple neon. Well, first I told him that I see him in a purple car. And he says, and I said, I see a Chrysler. And he said, if you can tell me what model, I think I'm going to shit myself. I said, I hope I'm wrong on this, and please tell me that you did not show up there in a purple neon, but that's what she's showing me. And the phone went silent. I'm like, shit. And again, we lost connection. Matt? Yeah. Okay, well, what the hell? Did you show up in a purple neon or what? He goes, no, we were in a PT Cruiser.
Oh, yeah?
Guess what?
And
that's
what it was. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, the PT Cruiser and the Neon have the same, well, the early years of them have the same front end.
Right.
So, you know, this started freaking Matt out, of course, at this point, and
mm-hmm.
didn't do me a hell of a lot of good, and it was after that that I actually got punched. But, I mean, like he said, this was... You know, second time that Dennis has felt choked. Well, yeah, because I had, like, I'm 37 minutes into recording doing an investigation with my team. I've got two other investigators walking around with me at, you know, my training ground location.
Mm-hmm.
37 minutes into recording, I go into this one room, and I get choked that effort. And I started into a coughing fit, and it just felt like I had pressure on my throat. And, like, what the hell? This lasted... I don't know, 3, 4, 5 minutes. And about 2 minutes after you hear choke that effort, you hear the same male voice, but this time he has literally screamed, "Get a grip."
Jeez.
So, yeah, I'm not 100% thrilled with this bastard. Needless to say, if there's any one room that I do get a little more aggressive, it's that
mm-hmm.
room. But, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, now, if you're not familiar with Jeff Resman, he's a very strong psychic and medium. He's the one that wrote all the information down for Matt regarding this girl.
Oh, yeah?
Full description. Yeah.
And by the way, it was out of nowhere. I've never discussed Audrey with him at all. Mm-hmm. It was literally out of nowhere. And how the conversation started to where my ears perked up like a Doberman is when he wrote
or
it down
like
in October. No, either way. Anything with any canine with perky ears, okay? But,
yeah, but you strike me more as a Sharpei than a Doberman.
What, I have a wrinkled fucking face or what? But, so, no, like, he tells me, he goes, like, and Dennis will contest this, confirm this, I don't say shit. If I say, what do you see, I'm silent.
Hmm.
I don't feed, I don't, you know, go into that at all. Like, that area is, I'm going to give you the most limited amount of information as I possibly can. Tell me what the hell you see, and let's see if it clicks.
You're right.
Well,
that's
with Jeff. Yeah, with Jeff, when I was sitting there, he goes, I'm getting Audrey or Aubrey. He goes, and she's telling me that there's something more to it. Well, no, now she's telling me I'm wrong. Well, her name is Audrey Moore, Moore.
Mm-hmm.
So he nailed Audrey, even though he brought up Aubrey, without me saying shit. And we were having conversation about nothing paranormal. We were talking about, like, at that time, it was either France or Italy, because I was talking to Jeff Mudgett's daughter about traveling Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Is when this stuff just sparked and hit. So that was just, I was beside myself in how close he nailed it. And Audrey or Aubrey and Moore, as in M-O-R-E, and M-O-O-R-E, as in Moore, of where she was saying that he was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just too damn close to home.
Yeah, but all of this just feeds right back into where this conversation started. We all
right.
know there's something after this.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what's after this?
Exactly.
This girl, here we are 25, 28 years, whatever, after her death, was seen by a psychic and medium standing right behind Matt and was able to communicate to Jeff Resman, you know, exactly who she was by name and you know. So, I mean, there's obviously something after this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she would be the one that I would want to ask, what's it like on the other side?
Exactly. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Maybe you wouldn't want to know what it's like.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. To ask psychically, you know, even, you know, like I said, I've got some abilities, but, I mean, I'm not great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even you with your abilities,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you could hear them, how much stock could you put into the answer that you get back versus
right.
if you're able to get it on a good recorder?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what I want. You know, I don't want a psychic impression of what it's like on the other side. I want a damn spirit that's on the other side to tell me what it's like.
Right.
Hey, but, Tim, real quick, I'm sorry, Dennis. You know what's going on. As far as with the whole.
Yeah, you can go take care of that.
Tim, if you want to come back on and any time, I know there was a little signals crossed or whatever this evening. I usually book only a week out.
Right.
So, it's really up to you. Any free time that you have, I mean, you want the full 2 hours, you want an hour and a half, like whatever, it's perfectly fine of however much time that you want, but love to definitely have you on again and explore this. I've been getting messages the whole show to where two of my friends are apparently wanted by the cops for complete absolute bullshit that they would never, never do. So I need, like, I've gotten 26 messages from 13 different people asking what the fuck is going on, and I have absolutely no idea because none of them have these people's phone numbers but me. So I need to see if this is in fact true and let them know the cops are looking for them.
Right. Always something, right? Always something going on.
Anytime you want. I mean, hell, Dennis, I think, well, we're still open next week, right?
Well, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, you want to do next week, you want to do any other time, month from now, it's up to you, so.
Yeah, I could probably come on a month from now. I'll get some, maybe get some investigations, and then we could talk about that, too. That'd be great.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
That works for, like, right now, April 10th, which I don't know why it's booked out that far, because they've done one since, but Tracy and David Roundtree are going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically that's the farthest I've ever booked any show out at all. But, any night you want to be on, I mean, you know, if you shoot me a message by Monday, then it's a lock for Wednesday, so.
Okay.
Or Dennis, I mean, you have both of our information. But,
definitely
shoot me
in touch.
Yeah, we'll lock it in. Yeah, I apologize. If it was just a personal situation, I could blast it off for a little bit longer. But I need to get in touch with.
See what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so,
it's legal issues. Go deal with that.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, guys. It's been fun talking to you. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Thank you, Timothy. I'm usually check my Facebook or probably, right now. Almost all day. So just shoot a message. We'll shoot the shit. And, you know, I mean, you got, like I said, you got my information, Dennis's information. And definitely 100% appreciate you taking the time to chat with us and come on. And I'll work it out to where we can be on your show sometime if you want.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, definitely fun chatting with you. So we'll get together again. We'll shoot the shit.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Nice talking to you.
All right, John. Yeah, definitely. All right.
Take care, guys.
Bye. Have a great night, Tim.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, brother. Go deal with your shit. Go find out what's happening.
Yeah, I have no fucking clue what's going on, but it's like the amount of people that are messaging me about it, I'm like starting to actually get pretty worried.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of shit going on between these two people lately, so I'm wondering if it has to do with that. But, yeah, you can hit me up on the phone if you want. you know, let's not discuss it here. But
yeah, no,
I'll talk to you later. Keep me posted, brother.
All right, man.
All right, brother.
All right,
and thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. Catch us next week. We appreciate you sticking around to listen to the archives. Hopefully we had a decent conversation to keep you entertained. So thanks again, and we'll see you next week right here on Full Spectrum Radio. Bye now.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you next week.